2 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 13.
The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it.
For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen.
Amen. That's a small book. Now John is writing to the elder, and that elder is a lady. Many people think that people do not believe in ladies' ministry. But we believe that Bible teaches us in Christ there is no male and no female.
Amen.
We are all one in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
St. Paul teaches that, and here we see John is telling the same thing. When you read about this lady, let's read a couple of verses. Start from the beginning.
The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever.
Now this lady John is talking about, he says, this lady, she lives in truth, she is teaching the truth, living in truth, and proclaiming the truth. Now, today, we see so many other ladies wanted to serve the Lord, and that is a good thing. But according to the Word of God, we have to know what kind of lady. He says, this lady is elect lady. She is chosen by God.
Amen. That's right.
Many people are not chosen by God.
Amen.
And they want to serve the Lord.
That's right.
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5.
Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, continueth in supplications and prayers night and day.
Now, this is the kind of person St. Paul is saying, the person who wants to serve the Lord is talking about the ladies. And they want to serve the Lord alone. Those are the ladies should be widows and living life for Jesus Christ, and they don't have any secret friends or nobody. She is totally sold out to God. That's the kind of widows. Today we see widows and they are not living godly life. I have seen some of the widows and widowers, I'm talking about who are not saved. They are looking for Viagra and some other kinds of things and having disco dancing and all kinds of things they are doing and acting like young people. Those are not the people St. Paul says, take it to the ministry. Let's read the verse 9 and 10 in the same chapter.
Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of her good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work.
Now see what kind of widow is this? He says 80 years old. Do you know what 80 means? At least 60 years old. Most of the time when you reach to the 60 years old, that means you are not going to have any more children. Today you can have children up to 55. I never saw today anybody's having child when they're 60. It might be very rare. But he's talking about the widows. He said, when you are 60 years or older, if you read the 1 Timothy chapter 5, we don't have time. You read and he tells you about those kind of widows, how you should select them. They have to be at least 60 years old, and they have to be loving the Lord. They should be praying how? Day and night. That means their motive should be pleasing God and God alone. And then the verse 10 it says, please read one more time.
Well reported
means everybody should give a good report about them. Nobody should say anything about that lady. That's the kind of good reported lady. Okay.
If she have brought up children, if she have lost strangers.
Okay, now this lady should be giving good report about her good works and bringing her children in the fear of God. There are so many ladies, I'm talking about if the husband dies and leave the children, they don't care about the children. They go after somebody or kill the children, or somebody, boyfriend will come and kill the children. Those kind of widows he is not talking about. The widows who took care of the children, help other people, and he says, they wash the saints' feet. Today if somebody asks you, did you wash the feet of the saints? He say, yuck, what are you talking about? In those days, people were walking without the sandals. And their feet will be dusty and dirty. And when they come to your house as a guest, the widows, and not only widows, other ladies will go give them warm water, wash their feet, and then tell them to come and inside the house. But some people do not have that kind of mind. Today, if you say feet washing, it's become like a tradition. If you're washing somebody's feet as a tradition, that's not what he's talking about. Doing with love.
Amen.
If somebody comes to your house, how do you treat that person? Now we see here, John is saying, do not allow everybody to come to your house. If they are saints, means they are dedicated, they are sold out to God, those are the people allowed to your house. If somebody comes to your house to destroy your faith, giving you some kind of wrong doctrine, giving you some kind of wrong problems, do not allow them in your house. They will destroy your faith, destroy your house. But here he says, the person who you dedicate or elect for the service of God, especially ladies, they should be widows. They should be praying day and night. They should be taking care of the people who come to their house, especially children of God. And they are doing all kinds of good works, not bad works. Today we see the young girls, they want to serve the Lord. I believe if the young girl, means husband and wife, together they work and the wife is supporting husband, that's okay. But I see today, husband is sitting on the chair and the wife is the pastor. And then husband followed wherever wife goes, and wife is a preacher and husband is not. I don't think that is allowed in the Word of God. And if you start doing that, your ministry looks like a flourishing and everything, but it's not anointed by God.
Amen.
I saw one lady got saved first, and then husband got saved afterwards. And then the lady start telling him, "You are assistant pastor, I am the chief pastor." The man was very talented. He knew how to play the piano. He knew all English well. He knew all the business well. He was a good preacher and everything. Lady didn't know anything much. She was not even educated much. But she was overpowering the man. One day man came and said to me, "Pastor Peter," he used to call me brother. Brother Peter, he was older than me. He said, "You know, I am so frustrated. My wife thinks she's a head pastor and I'm an assistant pastor. And she doesn't allow me to do the things what I like to do." I said, "Well, Jesus loves you. And when your time is over, God will call you home. And then your wife will know what is really leadership is all about." So happened God called him home. And when he went home, and the lady left behind. The lady was now old. Maybe she was in her 80s or late 80s. She had the church left to her. She had many members. I used to go and help those people. What happened here? One young man came from another church and say, "I'm going to help you." And all other church members start saying, "Do not take this man in. He will ruin our church." She didn't listen to anybody. Something happened. All the church members left with the man, the younger man, and this old lady. What I'm trying to say, the Word of God says, God has selected people. Not the lady like she said, "I am the pastor." God did not ordain her to be pastor.
Amen.
And today you will see on television also, some of the ladies, they know preaching very well. If you look at their dresses, you look at their silver and gold, and they walk around on the stage thinking they are smart enough, and their husband sits in the on the audience or carry their bag or do their business. And they're thinking that they are doing great. According to the Word of God, they are not called the way the Word of God is saying. 2 John chapter 1. Let's read starting from verse 3.
"Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father."
First of all, he said, "Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father." In our house, in our church, there should be what? Mercy, grace, and peace. There should not be quarrel in the church. There should not be divisions in the church. There should not be having fighting in the church. I see in many churches, every year or every 5 years, they fight. They fight for leadership. They fight for ordination. They fight for the jobs. They fight for all kinds of things. And there is no peace. There is no joy. People are fighting for positions. Once we trust in the Lord, we have to know when God has called us, whatever the calling you have, shine for the Lord and God will use you.
Amen.
Everywhere you go.
Amen.
In this church, outside the church, or wherever you go. But if you are not called by God, God cannot use you. Now, fourth verse he said, "I rejoice greatly that I found your children are walking in truth." Why? Because she is walking in truth. She loves the Lord. She follows the Lord. So her children are walking in truth. Can be her own children, can be the church members. When you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and that person gets saved, that is your child, spiritual child. And you should take care of that person as your child. So he says, your children are walking and in truth. So once the person gives a good example, St. Paul, we read about him. Follow me as I what? Follow Christ. Imitate Christ. Imitate me. That's the kind of courage we should have to tell people. Do what I do. Some people say, whatever I say you do, don't do what I do. That is not a good example. Father will say, you know, I smoke, you don't smoke. Doesn't work. Our mother says, I fight, you don't fight. Doesn't work. We have to set a good example for our children. And so, this lady had a good example according to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Praying lady, worshiping lady, taking care of the believers, well known, already well-respected lady, and thus the kind of lady you should take in the ministry. If you don't take those kind of ladies in the ministry, they will ruin your church. Because there are ladies who are not called by God and they have the power to manipulate the ministers. The ladies are influential. They influence to your company, the church, everywhere ladies has the talent. They can convince you, they can talk to you, they have so many good qualities. But you have to use those qualities to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Not for your physical attraction or physical or your own goals. Whatever God has given to you, use it for the glory of God. And let the whole world know that you are a child of God. If you start doing from your childhood, it will stay with you. Some people say, well, I'm young now. So I want to act like young, I want to do like young people. And then when I'm old, I'll turn to be a good lady. You will never change. Once the tree is planted, and is that tree, if you don't shape it properly, put a poles or something and tie it properly, it will not go straight. You start going crooked. And after 10 years, you start straightening out that tree, you will break it. It is difficult to change in your old age. When you are young, that's the time you listen. You take care of your husband, you be a partner to your husband. And then, when you're old, even though your husband is not there, God will be with you. And you will be well known in the community. How did you take care of your family? So he says, I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth. And we have received commandment from the Father. What is the commandment? Now let's read a little bit further. Verse 5.
Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning.
Now the commandment we are learning in the John's letter, always he's talking about love.
Amen.
He says, I'm not giving a new commandment. The commandment the Father gave, you reading a little bit further. God the Father gave the same commandment, love commandment. But those people in the Old Testament could not follow the law commandment until Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us. And then he says, now I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I love you. We learned last week. So he is trying to say Christianity or the church supposed to show the love of God to other people. If somebody comes to our church and we start hating that person, or you just saying, stay away from me, or you just go and stay away further.
Yes, no.
Church is the family of God. Amen. And then the church has the leader, is the pastor.
That's right. Amen.
If the pastor is loving and kind, and you start doing the same thing, you don't do what you want to do in your house, in the church.
Right.
And sometimes some people joke about each other.
Amen.
So we should be looking at people's heart.
Amen.
Not looking at outside appearance and trying to make comment about their clothes, about their food, what they wear. Let love one another.
Amen.
Let the whole world should know we are called by God.
Amen.
Our God is love, and we should be behaving the same way as our God behaves.
Oh, dear.
If somebody comes to our church, just say, welcome brother, welcome sister, we love you.
Yeah, sure.
We really appreciate coming, and things like that. We want people to know that we are called by God. That's what he says, love one another. And he says, I'm not giving you, new commandment.
That's right.
This is from the beginning.
Amen.
Father gave the same commandment.
Right.
Son
right.
gave the same commandment.
Yes.
And we are giving the same commandment.
Amen.
It is not a different.
That's right.
Love one another. I don't like that person. And I don't like to sit with that person. I want to go and sit somewhere else. If that person is sinful, and if that person came to church, God will change that person.
Amen.
You don't take the rod and start changing that person. When they hear the word of God, God's word will change them.
That's right.
So we have to speak the word of God and let them know that we're concerned about them. Okay, verse 6.
And this is love, walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it.
This is love, that we walk after his commandment. How do you know that you love God? You do his commandments. And how do you know doing his commandment? If you don't love him, you're not going to do it. Period. People are sometimes, you remember, there is somebody said, the father told his son, son, sit down. He said, I don't want to sit. Sit down, I said. No, I'm not going to sit. Then he said, sit down. And now he knew that father is going to beat him up. He sat. But he said, dad, I'm sitting, but I'm still standing inside. So what is that? The stubbornness. You obey because of fear, but you are disobedient. You love the Lord because he loved us.
Amen.
Do you love more your cigarette, your drinking habit, your finances more than God? If you do, then you are not a child of God.
Amen.
You cannot say, I love you, Lord, and you deny his commandments. And last week we learned, his commandments are not what?
Grievous.
It's not too hard. Father wants you believe his son, and son wants obey his father.
And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in.
Go ahead, verse 7.
For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
Now, see what he's trying to say? If you love the Lord, if you love Jesus Christ, then you're going to follow him. Just like if the wife loves the husband, she will not look at another man and get enticed or get enrolled in some other activities. Maybe she goes to work and she finds a man handsome than her husband, or macho man, and she works with him. she is not going to go after the man even though he tried to get her attention. What the lady will say, I'm a married woman, I'm a child of God, and I do not appreciate what you're talking to me. Stay away from me and don't think that I'm that kind of woman. That's godly thing, because if she loves the husband, she will not do such a thing. But if you don't love your husband and you keep your husband just like a spare tire, and then you go and look for another man and another man and another man until you find one, and if you don't find one, at least I have one at home, and you go and find some all other people, that is not a love. You don't love your husband. You can find out if that lady is doing something like that, then you know she doesn't love the husband. But people are so foolish enough, they're thinking if some married woman going after another man and showing him, I love you more than my husband doesn't turn me on, but you do. That person has to be fool enough to believe that. Because if he get married to her, she will be saying the same thing to him about another man then later on. That you have to be faithful to your husband.
Amen.
Faithful to your God.
That's right.
Our God is our bridegroom.
Amen.
So if I love Jesus Christ from my heart, I'm not looking for any other savior.
Right.
I'm not looking for any other. I'm not saying, could you come and teach me something about your religion? And if I like it, I will take it. You don't have to go and study all the false religion to find out your religion
Amen.
Is good.
That's right. Amen.
If you learn your $100 bill, your bill, real bill, then you'll know the false bill. But if you don't know your $100 bill
right.
and all other bills, you get confused.
That's right. Amen.
The same way we have to know. We learn the right Jesus.
Amen.
We are not looking for another one. Other day one brother was saying, I tell somebody, you have to convince me your God is better than mine. There are people, they can convince you anything. They can take the mud or take a anything polished item and say, this is a gold. Nobody has to convince me for anything because I am convinced there is none like Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want anybody coming and teaching me about their God. I know my God. I'm not looking for anybody. Other day one man I met and he said, I'm searching all religion to find out what religion is better. I said, sir, if you know Christianity, if you know Jesus Christ, you will be not looking for another religion. And some people are looking, studying for another religion. Let me tell you, study Christianity first.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the real one.
Amen.
Then you know who the phony is. How do you know phony Jesus and real Jesus? Somebody says, if I find the scar, I would know.
Yeah.
Anybody can come with a scar and stand and say, here I am. How do you know? If you take a cowboy and give him good shave and give him good clothes, give him all the perfumes, a king's clothes, and put him on the throne, everybody will think he is a king. The dress makes you look like a king. When somebody will come to know he's a real king or not? He has to talk. When he start talking, then you will know. But today in American custom, everybody can be president. I'm talking about the olden days. The king's son will be king and king's son's son will be king. But now anybody can be president, but I'm talking about king. So what I'm trying to say, we know what Jesus Christ is all about.
Amen.
Let's read this verse 7.
For many deceivers are entered into the world.
Okay, many deceivers. Now if somebody is deceiving you what you have, that is Antichrist. And what is saying?
Who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh.
What they are teaching you, he says, well, we'll tell you another Savior. We don't believe that Jesus Christ came in a flesh. Because if somebody comes in a flesh, that is not a real God. We worship a spirit. We worship some kind of universe or anything they will tell you. We don't want to believe who became a man. They don't know why Jesus Christ became a man. You remember the word of God says, he did not even take the form of an angel, but he took the form of you and me. Amen. Why? Amen. Because he wants to redeem you. And he is our Savior. We are not looking for another one. Because there are people who do not believe Jesus Christ came into this world and he died for you. He rose again. He's a living God. If they deny that, that person is what? Antichrist. Okay, let's read verse 8.
Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward.
What you got, don't lose it. If you got the salvation, if you got the water baptism, if you got the Holy Spirit, you got all the gifts of the Spirit, and if you're living in Christian prosperity, spiritual prosperity, don't lose it. People will lose it when they go after the flesh or after somebody. Some people are really blessed, but they go after the world and lose what they have. World is not going to offer you anything, but world will destroy you. Okay, let's read further.
Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
Breaking the law, not listening to God, and doing something against God, if that person comes to you and try to tell you many good things, I'm not going to listen. One day one person called me in Center City, called him in his office, and he thought I might be looking for help or something. And he knew that I'm a minister. And he started talking with me. And he said, you know, you should not be using the blood word. And don't say Jesus Christ shed his blood. I said, what should I say? We should say Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Don't talk about blood. I said, sir, without the shedding of the blood, amen, there is no forgiveness.
That's right. Amen.
And I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And I said, I don't know what religion is yours, but if you don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't want to talk to you. I just left. If you changing for truth, then it's okay. But if you changing to going down, for example, Pentecostal minister joined to Baptist ministry and going down for the financial gain. Or the Pentecostal pastor joining the Presbyterian church going down. That's for the financial gain. So the word of God is saying, whatever you got, and if you don't hold on to what you got, you are going to lose it. What Jesus Christ has given us, we should not be lowering it. I met the man in India. I don't want to give his name. He was 9 years Pentecostal pastor. He educated in a Pentecostal church and he was very well known in India. He was a British man. And he was the Presbyterian pastor, head of all Presbyterian churches. He heard about me. He came to my church and I was on the tour, so he could not see me. He gave the card and said, I wanted to see Brother Peter. I went 150 miles to his place. And when I saw him, when I introduced that I am the one you came looking for, I travel 120 to 150 miles I was tired, I was weary. That man even didn't say, Brother Peter, would you like to have a drink? Can I give you a glass of water? The table was set, all the ready to serve, and he was trying to avoid me when I'm going to get out, because he said, I have guests coming for the dinner. And the man came to see me, I come to see him. Now he doesn't want to see me because his guests are coming. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. I said to him, are you saved? He said, yes. Do you believe in immersion baptism? Yes, I do. Do you believe in Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues? Yes, I do. Do you teach what you know to your church? He said, no. I said, why not? If I start teaching what I know, they will kick me out. Because this is Presbyterian church and I'm Pentecostal man. I said, sir, why are you doing this? He says, I have big bungalow. I have 4 or 5 servants. I have 1 car, 1 station wagon. My children going to Christian school and paid by the mission. And so Pentecostal people don't do these things. I said, did you hear in the word of God, young lion will go hungry, but whoever serving the Lord, they are their children will not beg for bread.
Amen.
He said, Pastor Peter, Brother Peter, you are not even married. When you get married, you will know the responsibility. I said, sir, if I get married, I don't know you will be alive or not. But I will be the same. I will not go after money. And I said, let's pray. And I prayed and I cried. And I said, Lord, speak to this man. Much is given, much is required. He knows the truth and he doesn't teach the truth. And I said, Lord, let him start a small group teaching the truth and having thousands of churches under him, and he's not preaching the truth. I prayed, I cried, and I left. Pretty soon I heard, man resigned that big job, went back to Ireland, started a small group of Pentecostal church. So what the word of God is saying, don't give it away. Don't lose it, God's blessing. Okay, let's go. Verse 10.
If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
If there is someone come to you and do not preach the doctrine of Jesus Christ, you should not be allowing that person to come and sit and teach. If somebody comes to you and you are in charge and you want to teach him the full gospel, that's okay. Then you can bring him in. But if somebody comes to you, a Jehovah's Witnesses, and says, oh, you are a full gospel pastor, how much they pay you? This much. Oh, you come to our church, we pay you 3 times. And then you got mixed up. Just like I said, Pentecostal pastor go and works for the Presbyterian church. Somebody say, what's wrong with that? But I showed that man what is wrong, and he came to his senses, gave up his job. So what I'm trying to say, here the word of God is saying, somebody comes to you and does not bring the right doctrine and start trying to convince you. I saw one man in Texas. He was Pentecostal and he got a job, a Baptist pastor. Now, if you are a Pentecostal pastor and you're speaking in tongue, Baptist pastor is going to say, hey, you cannot do that in this church. So he convinced to this pastor, he said, okay, I don't have to speak in tongue. So he took the job, and now wherever he goes, what he's going to teach? He starts teaching, speaking in tongue. It's not necessary. I said, sir, do you speak in tongue? He said, I used to. But now I became a Baptist, I don't speak in tongue. I said, why not? It's not necessary. And so I said, this is the time. So I gave him and others Bible study about the Holy Spirit. And then he found out he's wrong and he wants that same experience. He used to speak, he lost it because he starts saying against it. If you have something and you invite somebody to take a wrong doctrine, you're going to lose it, what you have. Let's reach the verse 11. What happens if you do? He says,
"For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds."
Now, what he's trying to say, if somebody comes with a wrong doctrine and you greet him, say, "Hello, praise the Lord, brother, praise the Lord, sister, come on in, welcome." If you say like that, and if that person doesn't live in truth, and you try to greet that person's evil deeds or that person's curse comes on you. That means you are just like him. You invited somebody to your house to listen to their thing and you have nothing to say, you are in trouble. Trouble means what? You got evil deeds like them. Read the Romans chapter 1 and last words.
"Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them."
What he's trying to say, there are people doing evil things in the world. But you are not doing it, but you are approving what they're doing it. Mm-hmm. You became evil like them.
That's right.
Some people say, okay, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Hindu, but you entertain Hindus in your house, you entertain Muslims in your house, and you don't tell anything about God, and you listen to their garbage, you will be partakers of their evil deeds. That's what it's saying here. Read that 11th verse. Go back to the 2 John chapter 1, 11. That's the meaning of it. If you have a simple translation, get it, New King James? 2 John chapter 1 verse 11. Please read, Rachel.
"For he who greets him shares in his evil."
If you greet that person, you share his evil deeds. Means your partner now. God is going to say, you are the partner with that evil person. Why? Because you have nothing to share, nothing to convince, nothing to tell, and you are reading him and allowing him to come and share his garbage. You are equal into him. God is going to punish you. That's what the meaning is. Okay, let's read verse 12.
"I have many things to write unto you. I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full."
Sometimes he's saying, I have to tell you all this, how the evil people come and deceive you, and who is the Antichrist, and who is your enemy. I want to tell you more about these things. But let me come in person and talk to you face to face. And the verse 13, what it says? "The children of thy elect sister greet thee." But she is also elected one, chosen one. And so he's trying to say, you are chosen, and your sister, she might be a sister in the Lord, or she might be her blood sister. But what the word of God is saying, one sister served the Lord, another sister got the idea, hey, my sister is following the Lord, I'm going to follow him. If somebody greets you, and that person is not in the Lord, and you take that person's greetings, and you greet that person, you will be partakers of their evil deeds. But if you greet somebody who is in the Lord, then you sharing their blessings. You remember the Mary heard the word of God and she said to angel, let it be according to your word. And what happened? She became pregnant. Now she goes to the Elizabeth. The Mary's voice, the baby heard, the Elizabeth's baby, that John, and jumped in the womb. So when your greetings can bring the blessing to somebody. As soon as Mary's voice came as a greeting to Elizabeth, her baby leaped in her womb. And she filled with the Holy Spirit and started prophesying. So what we love the Lord, follow the Lord. Hold on to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Do not allow wrong doctrine to come into you and listen to them. If you start listening to their wrong doctrine, wrong teaching, you will be equivalent to them and you will be punished like evildoers. And so he say, if you greet somebody, how your greeting should be? Christian greetings. Your greetings has to have some message about Jesus Christ. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Be with us, O Lord, and sanctify us and use us. Let us not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.